Blog Talk Radio.
Genesis Awakening. This is your host, James Squire. Sorry for the long intro. I was in the middle of doing something. So yeah, this episode is going to be about standing up, stepping out, fighting the good fight. Now, I don't know how many of you, once you decided to excuse me, speak out against the New World Order or the fruits of darkness, if you noticed, like, repercussions. Like, when, let's say, okay, put it this way. Let's say when I was my old self doing whatever I wanted to do, I didn't really have much happening. I would go to work, do my thing. Yeah, I was a drug addict. But I didn't have much weird events happen besides being involved in a cult, you know. But I tried to get out of that. I tried to take the position of, not my fight, I didn't ask to be born, so I don't want any part of it. God and the devil can fight their own fight without me. And I tried to take one of those stances and just live like, you know, go to work and do the 9-to-5 thing and all that. But at the same time, I was hooked on drugs. But anyway, put it this way, if I lost a job, I had a real easy time finding another one. The next day, boom, find another job. So the real crazy stuff started once I woke up, when I was at home and Father woke me up himself. And then I decided to research everything that I researched. I was being pushed by something stronger than myself, which I believe is the spirit, to dig for the truth. And then all these really crazy, weird things started happening. Like, all of a sudden, I couldn't keep a job for the dumbest reasons. I mean, people were, I usually got along with everybody. You know, I used to get along with everybody. But for some reason, people didn't like me. I don't really have an explanation for it. I don't know. I don't think it was my personality or something, because I'm a pretty easygoing guy. So it's been a real battle, continuing the fight to expose what's going on. At first, I was, for a long time, I was hooked on drugs, you know, like I said, and so I went to, I finally stopped shooting dope, and I started taking Suboxone as a way of maintenance, and while I was taking that, you know, it took care of the cravings and the physical withdrawals, and so there was, you know, I that was on the back burner for the longest time. And then I started getting really sick of taking it because it was affecting me. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I'll get off of it. Now, mind you, I was awakened while I'm taking this medication, okay? I believe we can come to the Father as we are, or for some people, He'll come to you. If you don't want to wake up and He has a plan for you, well, He's going to come to you and wake you up. And sometimes He wakes people up in small ways. But me, I needed to get smacked right in the head, because I always believed He was real. I just didn't like Him. I hated His guts. I was very angry at Him. So He came to me and woke me up, shook me awake, scared the living heck out of me by showing me something, okay? Now, so, like I said, we can come to Him as we are. A lot of people think, oh, I got to get clean first. I got to quit smoking. I got to quit drinking. I got to do this. I got to do that before you can go to the Father. Well, that's not true. You can't become good enough. All right? You got to go to Him as you are. Because no matter, even if you do manage to get off your drugs and stop smoking and doing whatever the heck else you do that do you think makes you not good enough, you still won't be good enough. You'll never be good enough. We're saved by grace. So, but if he's got a calling for you really specific and you're just ignoring it, he's going to come to you and wake you up somehow. And if you refuse to wake up, well, there's going to be consequences. Because I know, because for the longest time, I refused to wake up. I saw what was going on, and not to the depth that I know now, but I had an idea somewhat. But when he came and woke me up, my mind was blown wide open, let me tell you. So I was still taking the drugs, you know, to maintain this addiction and stay off heroin. But like I said, I decided to stop taking it because it was clouding my mind, and I was sick of the slavery of having to go every week to sit in a group of people that, you know, I'm in a group of people, they're all lying, saying how good they're doing. Oh, I'm doing great. But in reality, they're all doing drugs and stuff outside of the group and everything. And I just couldn't sit there anymore and deal with it. Felt like a big hypocrite. And I wasn't doing too hot myself. And, you know, I was flipping up here and there, doing things. But I just, you know, I wouldn't say anything in a group about it. One of my biggest pet peeves is hypocrisy. I can't stand it. And that's one of the reasons why I used to be so mad at religion. It's because you go to church, and once people get out of church, they're all, not all of them, but many I've seen where they're in church, and they're good and friendly and all lovey-dovey, but once church is over, they go right back to their old ways and their true selves. So I had a really big problem with the father, because I thought it was his fault. You know, and so I tried to get off the drugs after, you know, like I said, he woke me up while I was on them, and then I tried to get off them because of the slavery of having to go every week and see a doctor, and plus it was depressing me and it was keeping me down. So what I did was I tried to quit, and I did quit that stuff, and it was hard to get off of the first time. And so some really crazy things were happening whenever I would try to quit. Like, I would wake up in the middle of the night being attacked by something. And it would be holding me down, and I would try to get off me, and it was like this thing, this person, you know, it felt like a human body, but it was evil. It was really evil. It was like holding me down, and I think it was the literal monkey on your back, you know, that, like they say, the proverbial monkey on your back. Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, this never happened to me unless I would try to quit, all right? So I'm just giving examples of how when you step up and step out to work against the enemy, they're going to come and meet you to try to stop you. It's just a fact. Okay? If you're not getting into any resistance somehow, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing if you are supposed to be exposing. You know, some people aren't supposed to be exposing. Some people are meant to go out there and minister. Some people are meant to go out there and heal. And there's different gifts. There's different gifts of the Spirit. So don't get me wrong here. But if you're not, but with all gifts, if you're making an impact against the enemy, you're going to get some kind of resistance. And a lot of it's going to seem surreal, supernatural. The scripture says that's what's going to happen. That you will be persecuted and hated because of King, you know, the Son of God. And so, other things that would happen is whenever I would try to quit. My biggest thing, I've always had a huge love of drugs, chemistry, stuff like that. I just always had a big fascination with drugs. So it's one of my biggest, it's probably the biggest stumbling block in my life. You know, other people have different, some people, sex is their stumbling block. You know, some people, it's food. But mine was drugs. And it's one of my weaknesses. So, that's why I talk about it a lot. Because that's one of my biggest weaknesses. And I bet you there's a lot of people that can relate. And alcoholics, too. Alcohol is a drug. So, that is the biggest obstacle I have to overcome in order to fulfill my calling. All right, all of us have that number one. Some people have two, you know, but most of us have one thing that is our biggest obstacle. And like I said, it could be anything. It could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be food, it could be whatever it is that gets in between you and your calling. All right, so mine's drugs. That's what I talk about a lot. So anyways, whenever I'll try to quit smoking or quit the Suboxone, all of a sudden I'd get phone calls of friends I haven't heard in a long time offering, hey, you want to hang out? And then they want to give me free dope or all of a sudden, you know, nobody's who, when I really wanted the stuff and I needed a fix, you know, where is everybody? They're nowhere to be found. But the minute I try to get off of it, Phil Schmoltz, my hole, I haven't heard from in 10 years calls. And he's in town and wants to wants to treat me to some drugs. So that's how I know the spirits work through people. Anyway. It hasn't been easy. It feels like sometimes you're in the middle of a huge battle and you're just being crushed on all sides, you know. You're trying to overcome this thing and you're praying, struggling, going through the motions. And you literally feel the effects of the spiritual battle. I mean, that's the only way I can articulate it, really, to explain the level I'm trying to come from here to get it across to you that we're not just in the physical, you know, it's not a fleshly battle we're dealing with. Or it's not just the flesh. It's everything we do in the flesh has an impact in the spirit. So when we try to overcome these obstacles, we meet these incredible resistances, you know, like something just comes up against me. And some people have different symptoms, you know. Some people will smother it. They'll try to find something to replace one drug with another or one vice with another. Like I've known people who quit doing dope, but now they're alcoholics. Some people quit being promiscuous, sleeping around with everybody, and now they're food addicts. You know, I mean, we all have God-sized holes, and only He can fill that hole in our heart. That's why people run around looking for something to fill that void. Only He can fill that void. But it's been really, I don't understand it. I really don't. Because while I was on these drugs, I was like Mr. Spiritual, you know? And now that I'm off of them, I'm just like not spiritual. Not like I was. I mean, I know this stuff is real. I know we're in a war. But it's like I'm just too self-absorbed with what I'm going through in my current situation to care. While I know I should care, and I do, I do. Or else I wouldn't be doing this show. So I do care. Put pants on. If anybody wants to call in, it's 1-347-850-8229. And if you want to talk to me, press number 1. I kind of need some help here. I could use somebody to talk to. Couldn't we all? I'm sure people out there can relate to what I'm talking to here. Or, I mean, what I'm talking about here. So, anyways, and you know, it really kills me because I came from such an abusive background to where now I have this calling, okay? So I'm supposed to be looking ahead to my calling. Okay, what do I do next, Father? What do I do next? What do I do next? And he's like, okay, well, you got to get off the drugs. I'm like, oh, no. All right, well, I agree. I should get off them. So I get off them. But then I didn't know I was going to lose what I felt was my spirituality. Or a certain chunk of it. I didn't know I was going to. It felt like I lost that, you know. That's how much that stuff gets you, you know? I mean, it's crazy. So, to continue to stand up and step out and to expose, I don't know if anybody of you have noticed, which you probably have, but I don't really post as much right now. I kind of, you know, in many ways, I feel tapped out. Man, I used to be a posting maniac. I used to compare everything to the word because that's how you have to do it. If it's not comparable to the word, then really, what's the point of posting it? Because the aim is to cause others to believe. That's my belief. We're here to spread the word, encourage other people, expose what the enemy is doing in order that they believe, have hope in the Creator and King, and be saved. Not to scare people, not to run around acting like we know more than everybody else. That's not the idea here. No, I don't even want to know this stuff. I didn't want to know half of this stuff. But I was being pushed to do it with the thought, you know, if I wouldn't do what I was supposed to do by researching and exposing, that night I would go to bed. And on my mind would be, but what if you die tomorrow and you have to face the Creator and King? What are you going to say when they say to you, you knew this stuff, but you didn't tell anybody? Why? What are you going to say? And I would just sit up all night thinking, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my goodness. And then I wouldn't be able to sleep all night now because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And so the next day I'd go out there, research, and compare the scripture, put it all together, and start posting. So I used to be a posting maniac. I mean, look in my albums, look in my photos, look in my wall. Look, just you can see it. It took 2 years. I mean, I feverishly put together a compilation. It took over 2 years. And the only reason why I even opened the Facebook account wasn't to make friends. It was to expose what's going on. I'm not as social as people might think I am. I am, like, anti-social. I don't like crowds. I don't like making a public spectacle of myself. But I know that's not the best way to be. I mean, how are we going to be in the body of Christ if we can't be social and love one another? So I know I have to work on that. And that comes from when I was a child. I went through a lot of abuse. Very bad stuff. Bad stuff. Stuff I can't even mention. And that's why I did drugs for so long, was to cover up the pain. Boy, this is crazy when I think about it. How all this really insane stuff started happening to me once I joined the fight. Like getting hit by a car. But then again, my life was crazy before that. I guess it just got more real once I found out that the whole Antichrist thing is real, and I'd be held accountable for my actions after death, whenever that is. It just got more real. So, I got off the drugs the first time, and I got hit by a car 3 days later. After 6 weeks of staying clean, I go and say something like, oh, I hope nothing happens to me, so I have to get back on drugs again. And 3 days later, to the hour, I get hit by a car. I mean, I've mentioned this before. I honestly believe the enemy heard me and acted upon it. And after that happened, I mean, I had to get back on painkillers because I got broken bones now. I'm covered in bruises. I got hit by a car. I went right through the windshield. And the guy got away with it. Okay? When I called the cops, when I got out of the hospital, I called the cops. And I'm like, hey, I need a police report to give it to the lawyer because I'm going to sue this guy. Cause, you know, they were saying they found the car that the guy drove. They were saying this while I was getting loaded in the ambulance. So I'm thinking, cool, they got the guy. Good, I'm going to sue. Well, when I called the cops, after getting out of the hospital, a cop came. And I said, yeah, I need a copy of the report. The cop says, oh, no, I'm here to take a report. I was like, what? What? So, I mean, I know this is a spiritual attack. It was a spiritual attack. It knew the potential we have when we're totally free of stumbling blocks. And, man, I am trying to get rid of these other stumbling blocks. This is the thing. It's like a pyramid of stumbling blocks with a capstone of the one big one we all have. Everybody's got that one big one. Like I was saying earlier, some has drugs, some it's sex, some it's food. Mine's drugs, okay? But so I removed the drugs, and now I have all these other ones that I was covering up for all this time that are there now. Like, I have a serious temper, okay? I got to work on that. All right, shut up. I don't need people agreeing with me right now. All right, so I'm like, and then these feelings that I haven't felt in a long time, in memories, flashbacks. See, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what they call it. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, that's when you suffer flashbacks, okay? It's like you're there, you're reliving it all over again. The trauma you went through. Well, if you keep going through trauma after trauma after trauma after trauma, what happens? Is, and this is why I sympathize with all MKUltra victims and why I used to get so disgusted and sick to my stomach, literally, when I would read books like Transformation of America by Bryce Taylor and, Transformation of America was by Kathy O'Brien. Welcome, Thanks for the Memories is by Bryce Taylor. And then Reflections in the Night by Maury. That's a website, reflectionsinthenight.com. And stumbling upon those and reading, I couldn't even read the whole book because it just made me sick because I understand what they're going through. And what there's a reason why the Father was showing me these things because and there's a reason why I can relate. And that is because I experienced the same things that they were talking about, and they're like compartmentalization. And what that is when you're going through a trauma, if you're getting beaten over and over and over, all right, what happens is the body will actually shut down, all right? You're going to an almost fugue state, or like you're in shock. Some people have reported actually the sense of leaving their body and seeing themselves. I haven't really been beaten that bad to where I'd step out of my body, but what is going on up there? Is the door open? I don't want those cats fighting. And so I would get beaten so bad that I'd be numb, and I'd be in another frame of mind. It's hard to describe. But what happens is, while you're in, quiet, while you're in this state, all right, or while these MK Ultra victims were traumatized like that, then they would begin the programming. And what it is your mind, when it's in that hyper state of awareness, absorbs everything, sights, smells, sounds, everything that's going on around you at that time is being stored in your mind. And it's there forever, right? Believe it or not, your brain is like one giant recorder. Every single thing you ever experience of all senses is all recorded in your mind, locked away somewhere, okay? And there are certain things that will bury memories. And when you remove those things, those memories will come back. And you can relive them all over again. And those memories can be traumatizing. So that's why, hang on a second. Be quiet, please. So, so that's what I'm going through. I'm like having flashbacks here. You know how hard it is to stay off the drugs and have these flashbacks? Well, I just got to pray, you know. And sometimes I don't want to pray. I don't even think of it. I'm like, I'm just angry. A lot of times I remind myself of my mother, because my mom had a temper, let me tell you. And she got it from my grandparents' tempers. My whole family's got crazy tempers. So I would remind myself of them. I would literally, in my mind's eye, see them flipping out. And I'd be like, oh my goodness, I'm acting just like them. I better calm down. It's just really hard to deal with. And I mean, there's got to be somebody out there, I know there is, who's dealing with the same kind of things. It's not easy to stand up and go out there or get yourself out there and fight the good fight. It's not. It's not easy to change. People say, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And then, you know, they don't ever do it. Some people do, but a lot of people don't. Most people just say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then they never do it. So you know what I'm talking about. It's not easy to change. Especially if you don't have a support network or a supportive family. Or you have a family that would rather you stay the person you were, which it seems like to me, they would rather me stay the bad person I was. It's a reflection on them. You know, for somebody to turn out good, it makes them, I don't know. Because I don't want to say that about my family. I love my family. But I can't stop sitting here. I can't sit here. I used to bury these thoughts. I used to bury these emotions. I used to bury them and not face them, you know. And now I have to face them as they come. I mean, I just can't turn them off anymore. My way of turning them off was drugs and psychiatric drugs, like I said, you know. So how has anybody else overcome these obstacles? Praying? Praying does help. It really does. It's just very subtle for me, you know. Like, I would have to wait until I was literally pressed into the corner like a mouse. You know, when you're chasing a mouse and you get it in a corner, and the mouse won't, you know, the mouse is running away, running, trying to get it away from you. But once you corner it, then it turns around and attacks, right? Well, that's like an analogy of my prayer life right now. I won't pray until I am just so fed up and angry with what I'm going through and struggling with. Then I'll finally scream out, why? Why do I got to go through this? You know? And I used to be like, praying, just thank Him for everything and just praise Him, and, you know. And that's true. That's what we should do, not complain. But it's hard without the crutches. that goes to show you just how much those drugs affect you and numb you. Yeah, sure, they might make you think you feel good, but what are you like without them? That's who you really are, is the person without them. All right, I've been talking for like 40 minutes here. Renegade, if you're out there, yeah, you can give me a call. That would be cool. Anybody else? If you want to give me a call, give me some encouragement here. That would be cool. I could use it. The number is 1-347-850-8229. And press number 1. And that'll let me know you want to talk to me, and I'll let you right in. Because I could use somebody to talk to. Because I'm supposed to be inviting all these guests and stuff. But my mind has been, like, so preoccupied. Like, I am usually not a selfish person, okay? When I was on my drugs, I was not a selfish person. But now I'm off the drugs, and I'm just like, I don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care about people like I was. And if I do care, don't get me wrong. I do. It's just hard to explain. But I'm going to keep working on it. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I come too far to give up. And I'm sure many of you can relate. And I really didn't even promote this show like I should have, you know. I tend to be a procrastinator when I'm not having my way, or if I'm trying to make a change. So, I'm going to give up. I could just, anybody wants to call in, I could use somebody to talk to. All right, so I'm going to play a tune from now, take a little break here. I'm going to play a couple songs, because I'm just trying to get through these emotions, all right? All right, I'll be back in about 10, 12, 13, 14 minutes. I might not even come back until somebody calls me. All right. Thank you. Bye.
are lost and found. What love is gonna save us? Shadows walking in the crowd. We are lost and found. What love is gonna save us? Flowers on the ground, we are lost and found, but love is gonna save us.
the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M, the A, the L, the C, the R, the alpha, M, the alpha, M,